Today's going to be a little different, which I'm sure as soon as y'all saw me come out here, you're like, yeah, it'll be different. just super, super grateful that we can jump in, we can support. Arby and Kathleen is there on sabbatical and getting a much-needed recharge and rest. And I know the Lord is speaking some really cool things to them, giving them an opportunity to be able to just take some time and hear. And I know in those times when we've stepped back from some things and have come back, it's always been way better, and it probably was way later than it needed to be or should have been. After knowing Arby for 22 or 23 years, never thought I'd be in a spot where I can come and help him while he's gone. Super grateful, but also, you know, our church body, just this last week, we had the water leak out here that we got fixed, and I got all kinds of emails and texts from people I hadn't really talked to before. It was just so cool, like, hey, if you need to know where the water line is over here, I can show you a way how to find it, and I know where this is going, I know where that's going, and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. It's so cool. Big shout out to our plumber, Tyler Walls. Man, he came out, we just had a great conversation, just talked about life while he's putting this thing together, and it was just so much fun. Like, it was just so real and so effortless. And I think what the Lord is really wanting from us is just to get back to just the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of life. We've made it way more complicated than it needs to be. I had this thought this morning that I really don't like standing up here. I don't like feeling like I'm talking down to people or talking to people. I want to talk with people. I want to treat it like I'm literally sitting in the living room. And y'all are over at our house. We get to come and do this together. You get to see. Wow. Man, this box is full. Come on. Yeah. You get to see probably more of the real me than maybe you want. Some days I don't even know what the real me is. But yeah, it's just super fun. So we're going to start out today with a little bit of a reset. And we're going to do a little devotion. That sound good? No pressure, no stress. We're just going to sit back. I'm going to read some of the word, share a little bit as we go through it, and then we'll just see where we go from there. I love what David shared, John 4:23-24. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. It said, the Father's looking for worshipers. Why? And it's because he knows that we become like what we worship. Didn't say that he was asking for worship. He said he's looking for worshipers who will worship him in spirit and truth. His desire is for us to know him fully, to become like he created us to be, to become like our Father. I was sensing this week too that a lot of us have maybe felt a little hopeless. I know I have at times. So we're going to do a little reset with hope as I read. I'm just going to share a quick story. You guys know I've talked about rats before. You're like, wow, we just shifted from this to rats. And it's called The Rat with Hope. And there was an experiment done. And these rats were placed in a bucket of water. And within 2 minutes, most of them died. They drowned. So the next experiment, I was like, wow, I wonder how many rats they went through. I don't like rats, so I kind of was hoping they had all drowned. But the next experiment was, right before they started to drown, he rescued them. And put them back in again, and then rescued them again. After he did that, do you know how long those rats swam in that bucket of water? Over 2 days. What changed? They were given hope. Right? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans for peace and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Where have you felt hopeless? What brought it on? What do we go through that we traded that hope for an inferior reality where the enemy got us off, focused on our scenario, focused on our surroundings? The Lord's inviting us to see things as he sees them. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Why is that important? Because he who has the most hope has the most influence. We've experienced it in jobs where it was hopeless, it felt hopeless. But we carried hope, we carried peace, and people would come to us and say, wow, like you guys are smiling. Like, how? And we got to share with them the hope that we have. Jesus in our life, what he's done in our life. Romans 5:1-5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of glory of God. Not only that, but rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Thinking of my son as a runner, and the endurance and the mental side of it, and how he gets through that wall that he hits, because he knows why he's running. He has the end in sight. He can see it. He has hope. It carries him through, and it's tough. Psalm 62:5. For God alone, all my soul wait in silence, for my hope is from him. Psalm 39:7. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Psalm 71:14. But I will hope continually and praise you yet more and more. Proverbs 13:12. This is one of my favorites. I've shared it here before. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Where do we need to have a reset? Where has our hope been deferred? What voices have we been listening to instead of the Father's voice? And the last one in our little devotion time before we shift gears a little bit. Rejoice in the Lord always. This is Philippians 4:4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. What a powerful promise. It's simple yet profound. It's not always easy, but it's so good. Yeah. I'm a big music guy. I love background music when I pray, when I read. I found it helps the medicine go down. Like even Saul, when he was tormented, when he was going through those things, he called on David to come. He said, "Fetch me a minstrel." And they brought him David, and David played his harp. And Saul had peace. So, yeah. It's just how I wanted to start this morning. And actually, Dana, you're good. Stand, yeah. I don't hear any complaints from the crowd. Let's keep on rolling. All right. I'm going to talk a little bit about the power of prayer, about intercession, the importance of it, who our battle is against and who it's not against. And we have a prayer and intercession group that meets here on Wednesday nights. And Mike and Paula Woodward, I love Mike's response. I asked him, I said, "Mike, will you guys consider leading a prayer time? Because there are times on Wednesdays when I'm not going to be able to be there. And I want to keep this thing rolling. You guys have such a heart for it. And would you guys be interested in stepping in?" And I love the time that he took to process, like, okay, I know this feels like a commitment, but I want to make sure that it's from the Lord. And then he replied to me and he said, "Yes, but we're not going to lead it. The Holy Spirit's going to lead it. We're just going to initiate a time together." And I love that heart. I love, you know, Mike and Paula, just thank you so much for your heart. You guys teach me so much. So I go through there, I'm like, oh yeah. That's why this part was heavy, because I was actually trying to lead it. I was trying to do this over here, and actually I just need to listen, let the Holy Spirit do the work. That's where it says, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. It's not that there's not a yoke and not a burden. It's because it's when it gets hard and heavy that there's something that we actually need to reset and offload to Him, something that we are carrying that we weren't supposed to carry. So Wednesday nights, it's an amazing time together. And just thinking of the intercession group, when we were at the Braveco Men's Conference last month out in Reading, we had the 40 of us tribe leaders, so we would lead a group after each session at ministry times. And we sat in this room, and my friend Jason said, "Hey guys, I brought in our team of prayer warriors and intercessors, and I actually want them to pray over us as we go through." And he said, I just realized, like, it's been years since I've actually had a team of people put together with a specific assignment to pray. And I'm just thinking of all of you in here, like, you've all been prayed for this week. You know, I've said it before, like, the every seat has been prayed over. We're praying specifically for you guys, for our community, for our businesses, for our schools, for our area churches. And it's so much fun to see, like, okay, God, what are you doing? I want to see people as they come in here, like, knowing that, wow, we got to pray for y'all before you even came, and we're praying for you during the week, and praying for the leaders, and praying for each other. And there was a lady in this intercession group who was had such a heart as a mom, and she was in her 60s, early 60s, and she said in 1995, that year, two of my sons committed suicide in the same year. And she looked at us, and I tell you, the fire that I saw in her eyes, she said, "You all have been what I've been praying for since 1995. You guys are going to go out, and you're going to lead 650 men through this conference, through life. the Lord has brought this group of men. Like, they didn't replace my sons. But what the enemy meant for evil, the Lord has brought something that's going to destroy strongholds, addictions, bondage in men's lives because of your heart for them. I'm like, since 1995, this lady has been praying for us. Wow. I have a hard time praying for 2 weeks for things. Like, wow, 30 years, like, oh my, over 30 years, like, you've been praying for us, for this thing. You weren't satisfied. You weren't going to stop. You were going to go after something that the devil took. So, in Acts 2, and I love this title in the New King James, it says, a vital church grows. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his words were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and prayer. Then awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. And later on in Acts, we read the story of Herod persecuting the Christians. And it's in Acts 12, 1 through 19. And I'm reading this one out of the NIV. I almost said, anyway, I won't go there. Out of the NIV. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each, Herod intending to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. James was arrested, killed. They found out Peter was arrested, and they got together and started praying. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed them out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. Can you imagine? It's like, what's going on here? These chains just fell off. What are we doing? Am I sleepwalking? He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent an angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." And actually, I'm going to stop there. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. So this was the prayer meeting. They were praying for him. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and said, "Hey." That's my narration. "Peter's at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be an angel." But Peter kept on knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become to Peter, to what had become of Peter. Can you imagine you're in a prayer meeting and what you're praying for gets answered? And the guy is knocking at the door and you're like, yeah, whatever. Really? Must be an angel. Wow. You know, it's just such a cool story and the power of prayer. And Joy and I have recognized a lot of things in our life, like that we haven't prayed about. And some things happen, and then we realize, like, wow, we actually need to pray, right? It should be so simple. We're Christians, like, that's how we talk to God. Get up in the morning, and we read His Word, and we pray. He's inviting us in, but yet we go through so much of our day, and we don't even think about it. And then we wonder, why am I in such a mess? We've had times where we've set aside a morning, and we fasted breakfast and we fasted lunch and we came back together for dinner, and just a certain situation that was happening in our family. And it's interesting, we didn't see breakthrough actually for a long time. But something shifted in us to where the Lord was teaching us that He was actually giving us peace and teaching us how to walk through trials and how to endure and how to build character and how to grow our spiritual muscles. And that this is actually something that we needed. Like, we're thinking, like, this other thing's going to change, and recognizing, like, I'm changing. You ever have that where you're praying for somebody else to change, and the Lord's like, let me change the person who really needs to be changed. And it's just so good, right? He only has good for us. We're going through things that seem really hard, seem really tough. We live in a fallen world. That's the reality that we live in. I know people that have prayed for people to be healed from cancer, and have seen over 1,000 people get healed from major disease, and his own dad and his wife die of cancer, die of the things that they've been prayed for and have literally physically seen and watched healed. And he said, why? He said, I don't know. But I do know that I can't build my thinking based on what doesn't happen. I have to go back to the Word. It says, heal the sick, raise the dead. I have to continue to pray. He said, well, my dad died of cancer. That night, we had a healing service. The only thing I knew how to do. And he said, I wasn't going to let the enemy get me down and get off of what the Lord has called me to do. He said, yeah, I have a lot of questions. Maybe I'll ask them when I get to heaven, or it won't even matter because I'm in heaven. I have no idea. But I do know that we live in a fallen world and things happen, right? Yeah. Okay, so in that, you guys doing all right? Doing good? Yeah, come on. All right, then I'll keep going. I only have about 4 hours worth of notes here, so we're doing good. I've been in services that went 6 hours and felt like they were 30 minutes, and I've been in services that went 20 minutes and felt like 6 hours. Hopefully we're not there. I love it. Thanks, Brendan. Appreciate you. All right, so our next step is, who is our battle against? You guys knew this was coming, right? Got like 15 notes up here, and I love it because this black podium, you can't see what all I'm pulling up here. Your keyboard die again? Yeah. Unless, yeah. Let's do it. You're making what I'm saying sound really good. All right, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I wanted to touch a little bit on that word principalities, and something I wasn't aware of, but literally changed my perspective as I'm reading this and praying for things and seeing different crazy things happen, especially in our country. In Greek, the word principality is typically translated from, it's a word, if you guys are Greek scholars, I'm not even going to try to say this word, but it looks like arche, which means beginning, origin, ruler, authority, or principality. It can refer to the first in a series, the beginning of something, or the one who holds a position of rule or authority. In the context of spiritual beings, it often denotes a rank or order of angels, either good or bad, with authority over other beings. All right. So what does that look like in situations that we're facing today? It literally is translated into the word origin. Ready for this? Let me ask a couple questions. So what would this look like in situations that we face today where there is a battle for origin? Is it really a baby or is it a fetus? Did God really create us, or was there a big bang? Did we come from monkeys? Were you really born a man? Were you really born male? Were you really born female? That's the spirit that's behind some really, really incredibly intelligent people believing some really, really dumb things. Right? And our tendency, if we're not aware of that, is we're actually go after those people. We don't realize that they're actually being influenced by something. So we actually get to go in and partner in prayer and start attacking and start going after the right enemy from the position that God's given us. I often see that we end up fighting people, flesh and blood, because we get angry and frustrated and want justice. We need to be aware of what is influencing people and the spirit that they are under. We need to engage the enemy by taking up the position where we are seated with Christ in heavenly places and use the heavenly authority that we've been given to bring down strongholds. When we pray, we also send out angels on assignment to carry out the word of the Lord. The enemy can't read our thoughts, but he knows when we've taken on one of his. Do you ever wonder why, when you start having some really ugly thoughts, it just seems like they keep on coming? Fiery darts, all kinds of stuff coming at us. But when we take those thoughts captive and submit them to the Lordship of Jesus, we have victory. So like I said, he sends us, he's trying. And then when, you know, we have lustful thoughts, when we have angry thoughts, we feel like literally killing somebody, like all of these things happen. He's like, all right, guys, I got to take her. Send them more. Keep them coming. We have a crack. Ooh, wow. Second Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity and to the obedience of Christ. Oftentimes the devil tries to give us his thoughts and make us believe that they are ours. We think that evilness is coming from inside of us and that we are absolutely rotten. But what happened is that we took on his evil thoughts because he's constantly trying to attack us in that way. When we got saved, we become a Christian. We're actually a new creation. We've been given a new name, a new nature, and a new identity. The change is instant. but the transformation takes time. What does that look like? What does that mean? When you get married, the moment you say I do, the moment that pastor says, I now present you, Mr. and Mrs. Okay? That change happens instantly. But now you get to spend the rest of your life learning about marriage, learning how to relate with this person that you're going to wake up with every day. The fact that you said no to like 3.2 billion other men or women, right? That was this process. So the change happens instantly. I'm instantly married, but the transformation takes years, right? Takes our life, takes our entire life. We've had thoughts and neural pathways that we've developed for years that need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's where Romans 12:2 comes into play. Do not be conformed any longer to this world, to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Romans 8:37 through 39. Yet in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, let's get practical. What does real life look like in regards to life of prayer? Every morning we wake up, start our day. It looks like sitting, standing, or having a cup of coffee, whatever that looks like, and just starting to spend some time with the Lord. We get to talk to him in prayer. We get to open his word and find out what he says about us. We get to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what do you have for me today? What adventure do we get to go on today? And that's how we start our day. I was listening to a guy, his name is Jim Quick. And I believe he's a Christian, I'm not 100% sure. But he can read and comprehend a book in 9 to 19 minutes. Right? And so somebody asked him what his morning routine was. And he's like, oh, you guys are going to laugh at me. So I don't even want to share it because you all think I'll do some profound thing. But here's what I do. He said, I get up in the morning and I make my bed. I do it because I don't want to. And I've realized when I've come back at the end of the day, I sleep better when my bed is made versus when it's a mess. So parents, if you've been trying to get your kids to make their beds for a long time, you've got a little fuel. And he says, and then I go downstairs and I drink a tall glass of water because I figured overnight I've probably lost a lot of moisture. So I drink a glass of water. And then he said, and then I stop and I read. And then I do a meditation. I listen to some music. And then I read a little bit more. And as he's sharing this, I'm like, oh, this is totally what a time with the Lord looks like for us in the morning. So we get up, we do, we spend some time in prayer, meditating on what he's saying to us, starting our day. And he said, the thing that I never do, he said, I don't actually open my phone, turn my TV on, or open my computer at that time of the day. I don't do it until after I've left the house. And I was like, oh, I got to find out what happened overnight, what Fox says, what CNN says, what this guy says, what this guy says. And all of a sudden I realized, like, I just completely screwed up my morning, screwed up my day because now I'm angry. You know, I'm angry at this guy over here for the decision he made. Like, all this stuff, right, we fill our lives with. And it's like, actually, our anxiety and our garbage that we go through the day is, for the most part, self-inflicted. So, and we're getting towards the end here. I just want to share a story. I love headlines, news headlines, and all that sort of thing. And I realized one day, like, man, I'm getting really stressed out watching these things and reading them. So as I happen to have it open one day, I'm seeing all these news headlines, and I see the country of Chile was about to, they had a vote coming up, and it was going to be the most liberal, like, crazy vote to change their constitution. And what was coming in was like, I mean, it was wild what they were going to bring in. And I'm like, I remember reading this, watching this show called Expedition Overland, and they happened to be in Patagonia, Chile, and I'm watching them through this whole country, and I'm like, and then the next day I see this thing on Patagonia, Chile, I'm like, wow, okay. And then the Lord, as I'm looking at it, he shows me, he said, I've given you an assignment. And I'm like, you want me to go to Chile? Like, it looks cool there, but what am I going to do there? He's like, no. He said, you found your prayer assignment for the day. And I'm like, oh. So I just started praying, Lord, thank you for the country of Chile. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to raise up good men, that you're going to break off passivity, that what the enemy is trying to do, Lord, will get completely shut off, that you'll raise up the Christians in that country to pray, and that that they are going to be a known as a country that that seeks you, that knows you. I'm like, okay, that was my prayer. 2 weeks later, I kind of forgot about it. This friend of mine said, hey, Dan, I want you to know, like, I have a cousin in Chile, and you mentioned, like, you saw something there about this big government decision that's going to come up. He said, I just want you to know, it got voted down. Right? Like, what? He said, yeah, they voted it out. And all these other men are coming up, and they're stepping up, and people that didn't even know were there came out to vote. I'm like, Lord, was this? And I'm like, I'm just going to assume that it was. It's what he called me to do, called us to pray. Right? So what are the things that we see that we actually, we're partnering with what the enemy's doing, and we're broadcasting his plan. And the Lord's inviting us to pray and to shut down the spirit of origin, the principalities, those rulers of darkness. Right? We don't get to fight like we're actually fighting from the place of victory. We get to pray, and he gives us a victory, and it's actually his, but he calls it ours. It's like, wow, I want to do more of that. So what does this look like in your families? What are the things that you've seen in your own families, your own relationships? Like, oh, my son's on crack. My daughter's an alcoholic. My kids don't know the Lord. They're leaving you, like, all these things. And it's like, hey, don't you know what I... Don't you think that I know what your kids are doing? Why don't you start praying my will for them? My plan for them. Oh, thank you, Lord, that my son is a man after your own heart. That he is a good man. That he is going to have an encounter with you. I told you guys a few weeks back that I was really struggling with a situation with my daughter. And if she was here, I'd share it. She'd probably blush, but she'd be okay. And she's going through something, and I woke up about 2 a.m. and I just said, God, I just pray for my daughter, Lord, and Anna, that she'll have an encounter with you, God. And I just called my daughter home. Thank you that you have created her so amazingly, that she's fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you that she is going to serve you. And literally 4 days later, a breakthrough happened. And she had a relationship that she was in that she broke off. She moves, comes home for a week. We have an amazing time talking with her just about life, about God, about all these things. And now she's in Hawaii working on a coffee and cacao bean farm, staying for free, working on the farm, and is going to get a part-time job with amazing pay, taking people out to see the manta rays in the ocean. I'm like, hey, I think that's our calling. I'm ready to join you, right? So it's just the power of prayer. Like, the enemy wants to get us hopeless. He wants to get us down. God's got some other things in store for us. All right. Are you guys okay with an activation? You feel like doing something? Okay. Haven't heard any no's? You can step back for just a minute. All right, everybody grab out your phones. Okay. If you don't have a phone with, totally fine. If you have a phone, pull it out. Those of you that don't have a phone, think of people in your contact list. Okay? When you have your phones out, open up your contact list. Maybe better play some music. This is going to get a little rough. All right. Does everybody have your contact list open? Put your finger on your contact list. Swipe 3 or 4 times through your contact list. Okay. Tell me when you're there. Everybody close your eyes if you've done it. If you've scrolled, close your eyes. Put your finger on your contact list and open your eyes. Some of you probably have an idea what I'm going to ask you to do, and some of you are also like, why didn't I update my contact list? Okay, here's your assignment. We're going to take a little bit of time and do this. I want you to ask the Lord what he would have you say to that person in your contact list, and I want you to send them a text. This was the hardest thing I ever did, and I'll tell you why, and we're done. This is where we get to speak some life. When a mentor of mine had me do this, I pulled out this list, did the same thing, put my finger on there, and it brought somebody, my finger planted on somebody who literally was the reason that Joy and I were slandered or asked, were told that we were no longer allowed to work for an organization. Actually told Joy specifically, I still had a job there. A bunch of lies, and actually we have the text to prove that the lies happened and all of these things, right? We weren't allowed to come back. They hired him full-time, gave him my truck. I had this beautiful 2012 Toyota Tundra that was at work. They gave him my truck and gave him my place at this organization. And I'm like, oh God, how do I do this? What do I send him? And I had no idea what to write. I had no idea what to text. And the Lord said, tell him what I think of him, who I created him to be. So I did. Austin, just want you to know, you're an amazing man. I started to see actually some good qualities that he had. The Lord was showing me like you have this, you have this, you have this, you have this. And I just want you to know that I saw your name come up in my contact list, and I just wanted to send you an encouragement. I don't even know if this is still your phone number. And then I hit send. And I would love to tell you this amazing story that I got a text back from him saying, oh, Dan, I'm so sorry. Like, this was totally, you know, but I never heard from him. But I do know that that's his number. I did find out. So what happened? The Lord changed my heart. Something that I had been carrying, the bitterness, the anger, the frustration, like, man, I'm going to slash your tires. Like, whatever else I can find. It's like, oh. And Jesus was like, Dan, I walked with the disciples. Judas was also in my midst the entire time I'm walking with the disciples. I know what pain feels like. I know what being wounded and hurt feels like. but that's not who I've created you to be, and that's not the plan I have for your life or for his. So I got to plant a seed. You guys just got to plant a seed. And I hope this week that you have some amazing replies and some texts. And I pray constantly for reconciliation of relationships, for any wounds that were created, that those get healed and restored. Because that's what the Lord is doing. He's restoring the hearts of the fathers to the children, the children to the fathers. And the person who probably will be the most transformed will be the person who just sent that text, which is you, which is me, which is us. All right. Yeah. Guys, okay? All right. Kirsten, if you will hit that video, we have a... Before you hit it, or get it ready, queued up. What's that, Johnny? She gone? Oh, okay. Joy and I are going to start a group here at the church on Sunday nights. We're going to go through a class called The Way of Life. It's literally a journey through the Lord's Prayer, what we get to partner with in prayer, and a bunch of other just cool scriptures that we've probably all read before, but we're actually going to take a deep dive through them. It's about a 20-minute video, and then we're going to have some discussion time. It's going to meet here starting next Sunday night at 5 p.m., and when at the first meeting, we'll make some announcements kind of on how it's going to look for that night. But I've got a sign-up sheet in the back. If you guys would like to come, you can totally come. We'd love to have all of you there, but you have to sign up because we've got some things planned in that time. So yeah, Kirsten, go ahead and hit it.
Is it possible to pray a prayer on earth as it is in heaven, where we learn to value heaven's values? It's a very specific prayer that too often, at least in my past, was more of a figurative prayer. It wasn't that way for Jesus. He would demonstrate power, he would do something significant, and then he would say, the kingdom is near. We need to make some adjustments in how we think, how we pray, and what we expect. God intends for his world to influence this one. We say yes to what he says, and we learn to adjust our life accordingly. I have a new book coming out called The Way of Life. I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider going through this book to see how the Spirit of God, how his principles, his ways of life can permeate the way we think, the way we do life, the way we do home. I believe that God would have his will demonstrated in and through us so profoundly and so obviously that it becomes the very thing that draws people into the kingdom. It's time for our cities to see his kindness through how you and I do life.
Thanks, Kirsten. Yeah. That's what we're going to do. Had a lot of thought of like, okay, RB and Kathleen are gone. What can we do as a church? What is the Lord calling us to do? And I really believe that he's calling us actually to learn how to pray, what to pray, what our identity is in him, how and what he's created us to be and do. And so we're going to jump in that Acts 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to fellowship, and the breaking of bread. It's the best way I know how to do it. So we're just going to jump in. Next Sunday night, we'll start. Give you a couple Sundays to sign up. Pray about it. I would love to have you there. And, yeah. So I'm going to close in prayer before Wayne comes up and does some final announcements. God, we're just, Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for your word, for what you have for us, Lord, that we get to partner with you. Thank you that we're made new, that we don't have to stay the same, that you've made a way forward for us. Yeah. Lord, that you're calling us back to you. You're calling us home, inviting us in. It's your kindness that leads to repentance. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your faithfulness, your kindness to us. Pray blessings, Lord, upon everyone in this room. And as we leave, Lord, that we will carry out what you've called, what you've shown us in our everyday life. that wouldn't be just coming in inside the four walls of a church and hearing something, hearing a message, hearing something, Lord, but we would actually do and put into practice, God, what we're learning. That our homes wouldn't just be our homes, that they would become discipleship centers. I pray for breakthrough, victory, and healing in any area or that anybody's praying for in this room right now. We just commit this time to you, God, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.